Good morning, family.
Good morning.
It's great to be here. I thought Curtis would have fired me by now. Maybe it's in the inbox. I just haven't picked it up yet. I want to stop and take a time out right here, if it's all right with you, to thank God for this day. Not just for me, but for you as well. Thank God for my friends. Thank God for my trials, my tribulations, things that we overlook. For we all need God for sustainment. For all things and people we sometimes overlook and forget about. For life is just mere vapor. Yet God has given us more than we deserve. And while we are struggling with His word, His love, His grace, His mercy, He still provides unchanging salvation through His Son, Jesus. I want to thank the leaders for guiding and leading in a quick Christian-driven way. That's important. To my church family, for the love and acceptance you've given us. To my wife and children, for being friends and supporting me in everything. I know what you normally expect is a high energy, impact, condemnation type thing. That's not what I'm here for today. I want to do God's will. Not that that wasn't. Sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need that. But, I want you to know I'm a person that's of a current time, right now, not yesterday, not tomorrow, not the days to come. And so when I come to you with a message, I'm dealing with what's going on right now, because that's when I need my God, my Lord, my Savior, right now. So I start off, I know we got a lot going on in this world, not just at home, but all over. I realize and see the suffering of many people today, here, and abroad. I experience every day the change that this pandemic has caused. I am aware of the devastating headlines that we have and how impactful they are on our lives. Headlines like just early as today, more than 180,000 are dead in the United States from COVID-19. And the experts say we're on track to exceed 300,000. Just headlines. That two hurricanes, something in history, is expected to hit the Gulf Coast by Tuesday and Wednesday. That the governor of California has issued an evacuation order for parts of Northern California for wildfires with zero containment that's already scorched over 1 million acres. That unemployment is at its highest. That the United States is in a state of civil unrest for more than 5 months they've been rioting. By now you're saying, great, I know all that too. And I thought that this was going to be different. That's what you said. However, my message for you this day, this morning, is hold on, a change is going to come. Hold on, a change is going to come. My title is inspired by one of the great writers in the Bible, Paul. In 57 and 58 A.D., Paul penned a letter to Rome. Chapter 8, verses 31 through 39 is where I'll be reading from. But he establishes not 1 ounce of condemnation, but hope, reason to hope, and what God has got for us. That's where we should be. Listen to me now. If there was ever a time that this country, this world, needed to see a solid foundation, it's now. You can't come out there shaking, waving, wobbling. You need to be steady, rock solid in what you believe. That's where we need to be now. Because the way I see it, Grady, in his little world, his little BB shot brain housing group spinning 1 million miles an hour, I see the only hope we got is God. That's what I see. I'm from Willard, though. I don't see much. That's what I see. So with that, if you would please, just bear with me this little while, and I'm going to try to deliver this a message of hope this time. So when we walk out of here, we don't have to walk out with the headlines bending us down, because that's what the enemy wants us to be. Bent down and worried, scared to death. If you would, please. I'll be reading from Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. When you have it, say amen. What shall we then say to these things? What's going on? What should we say? God, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? That's us. We're the elect. We're the Christians. That's us. Who? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yeah, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, and who also maketh intercessions for us. Right now. Right now. Regardless how big it is, right now, he's right there interceding for us. Right now. Right now. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Listen, church. Shall tribulations or distress or persecutions or famine or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for the sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for slaughter. We're coming back to that. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loveth us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What the pandemic got on us? But just so we don't get a misunderstanding, so we don't get it confused, so we don't just write it off as a normal writing in the Bible, who would have ever thought that in 57 and 58 A.D., that Paul would be describing what we're going through right now? Huh? Let me tell you. Let me introduce him to you. It's God. God knew. God knew exactly what was going on. So God knew at that time you and I was going to need this word of encouragement. He knew that you and I was going to see things on TV and stuff that would just try to pull you down and almost deny, snatch hope from the very joy of what you have to offer your children and your family. He knew that. God knew that you were going to be confronted with harassment, fight, and turmoil between you and your neighbor. God knew that. God knew that you were going to be struck with food shortages and medication right here in the great United States of America. God knew that. God knew that there would be a lot of natural disasters that we don't offer anything for. He knew that. Yet and still, he woke you up another day. Your Savior brought you here, got you on your way. And in the midst of all of that, he knew that you would still have other things and other people trying to put a wedge between his love for you and life and as it goes. So with that, let's go back through and be reminded with where Paul penned the Romans to take their hope. The one thing that separates you from all others, salvation, the hope in Christ. Here in verses 31 and 32, Paul tells what to say about all that is going on. Paul is telling you, listen, I'm going to give you some guidance on this. You don't need to go down to your buddy who hadn't been to church in 5 or 6 years and say, this is how we're going to handle this. Your campaign manager that do pretty good in the southeastern part of the United States, but not good over here, don't go to him. He didn't do that. Paul gives it to you. You know why? Because Paul wants you to make your life up for you. He wants you to decide for you. Paul tells us what to say about all the things that's going on. He goes on to say that if God is for us, who can be against us? Now, in actuality, you should be able to stop. As Christians, we should be able to stop right there. Say, I'm ready for any foe that's out there. We should be able, if you're standing rock solid on your faith where you're supposed to be, you should be able to say, whatever is coming, I'm ready for it. My life has not changed. I'm going to still serve God. You know, when I was in the military, I was sometimes put on details. Detail. You know what a detail? Detail is when they give you extra duty, you're going to have to go out there and do something. As a warrant officer, they put me on a burial detail. So I'm in charge of the detail. I got 7 soldiers, and we're out to go do a 21-gun salute. Chief, we need you to be sharp. We need you to be looking good. You need to make sure that the army is shined in its best light. When you go, I want them snap, sharp, good to go. And it didn't make a hill of beans of difference that I could actually see my face and my teeth and my boots standing up. That's how I clean. That didn't make a hill of beans of difference. When we got finished with the salute, we left him out there, whoever that was. Life is over. So when we look at this thing, well, the pandemic, this is going on. Don't shake your head and not pay attention. If you do, shake your head and look up and say, thank you, Lord. That's what you need to do. Don't get twisted and get bent down. Listen to me now. Don't do this. You are sending a message that what God got for you is not real. Don't do that. Regardless of what it is, like it said in the word, it says that we're like lambs, sheep for the slaughter. You're not here to stay anyhow. Don't get it twisted. Whether you die from 10 tons of cherry ice cream falling on you or COVID virus, you're dead. Dead is dead. At that point, you're accountable for what you're doing. Listen to me. We are, as Paul said, if God be for us, who? Because all this turmoil is kicked off is usually by somebody's hand twisting something. Satan got him doing something else. Who can be against us? Make sure you understand that. His own son, he gave his own son up for us. Do you think for 1 minute he's going to put you in a scenario that he don't have a plan for you to get out of? See, we a lot of times we get ripped up, tore up, caught up. Man, my job is going away. My telephone, I fell and dropped the lens on it. They're going to cut the service off on it. My last good tire is on the car. I don't have a spare. We're in a dire state. Things are rough. Man, I'm not one of those pessimistic guys, but the glass is half empty. Yeah. But the glass is half full. Yeah. You tell all that stuff to yourself if you want to. Let me open your eyes up. Empty or full, half or quarter, nobody in the graveyard can see the glass. They're dead. Get in your mind, it doesn't make a hill of beans of difference. What goes on? What's happening here? God is in charge. And if he's for us, who can be against us? The job may not be there tomorrow. Spare tire might fall off the car. My phone may never work again. But I'm here. I'm here. He allowed me for whatever, knowing that I ain't been good, knowing that I ain't done everything I was supposed to, he allowed me another day to ask for forgiveness and save me. He allowed me to see this. He allowed me to understand the awesome power of him. Let me move on. Verses 33 and 34. Paul asked, who shall who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Let me break that down to you. I don't care what pitfalls they put out there for you. We are conquerors if you're in God. Now, see, the whole catch to this thing is that you got to be obedient to God. That's the whole catch. That's the thing. You ain't got no God in your life. Even your mosquito bite's going to hurt worse than mine. Huh? You got no hope. No hope. We sit here and get wrapped up in these little things in life when knowing without question none of that has any impact on my salvation whatsoever. What counts? What counts is where I am when the trumpet sounds. Where I am with God. With God. It is exceedingly important for us not to go out here with the bullhorn or whatever. We have to be convinced in where we stand that the hope, faith, salvation relies on God. That's what Paul is saying here. Listen, whatever you run up against, whatever it is, cancer, whatever it is, whatever you run up against, pandemic, whatever it is, whatever it is, whatever it is. In history, that's why they call it history things. In the past, you got the rise and falls of a lot of greats. And if you look at it, they got books that set up with all the great ones on it. But do you know, in all the great ones, I can hold that same book up and say, here's all the dead ones. That same book. That same book. I can't do that for my Savior. He's here. Alive. And well. Hope. Hope. Don't you let anything strike out against what God got you here for. Paul also says that God, in the love for us, give up his only begotten son, who now resides at the right hand of God to intercede, knowing that, look, they're going to mess up. But I'm here. I'm here. They're going to mess up. They're going to get in arguments. They're going to get in fights. They're going to lie. They're going to steal. They're going to do this. But when they repent and ask for forgiveness, I'm here. Huh? They're going to be biased, discriminatory. They're going to be ugly. They're going to be vengeance. They're going to be vindictive. They're going to be that. But when they change, I'm here. When you move to that part of life that God converts you over to, we call it Christian. At that point, we are one. You are conqueror. You're conqueror. Not the fires. Not the two hurricanes. Not the pandemic. Not your party lost in the election. None of that makes a difference. We are one with the hope that our Lord and Savior will provide. Will deliver, will bring us through, will hold fast, and I rest assured, comfortably knowing that I'm not going until he's ready for me to take off. When you get like that, when you get like that, when you say that, when you believe those things, it's easier for you to walk out in the midst of a pandemic. Huh? Yeah. You can go out there in the yard while the wildfire's out there. Huh? They're going to come and go, but not God's word, not God's salvation. So listen, out of all the superheroes, Greg and them tell me that there's the cartoon is called The Justice League, and they got all the bad guys. I mean, when I say bad, those guys are tough. They fight. They keep things straight, I believe. That's Superman, Batman, Robin, all of them, you know, yep. You know, they're just hanging out, straightening the universe out. It would be wonderful if we could send the Justice League to handle the pandemic. It would be great to say, go stop the rioting in Portland and the rioting in Charlotte and all the fighting and discrimination. It would be great. Robin, can you handle it? Yeah, I got it. Go take care. But I'm here to tell you today, long before Robin, the Justice League, Batman, even the Cape come on the scene, God knew that we were going to need this to get them back focused on me and my word. God knew that you're going to be toiled, twisted, and pulled against the very roots and fiber of what you believe in. God knew that this thing is going to be hard for you because we grow up in a world where society perpetuates its own destruction. He knew that. But I got to give him that one thing that's going to take him through. Hope. They need that. They need that. So the Gradys, the Tonys, the Johns, all of us here, you know, we can face this thing. I can look at my granddaughter, bless her heart, over there and don't have to worry about, you know, something unright going to, you know, just doom her for the rest of her life. I can say God's in charge. God's in charge. While never forgetting that I am a sheep to be slaughtered. Never forgetting that my soul is rock solid in God. I want to iterate to you and put to you more than anything in the world. It is impossible for you to love and hope somebody else if you don't have love and hope for yourself. Listen to me now. You can play with it all day. Listen, you can put all the songs you want on the piccolo record player, whatever you got. Listen, if you don't have any hope and love for yourself, it is impossible. It is impossible for you to love someone else. See, love, that thing, the true love, the real love, the right love, not an imposter, not the one that's on the other side of the bookshelf or the one that the store put back there in the bent and dent stuff. This is the real one from God. Love, the real love, the real one. That's real. That's real. That makes it so much easier for me to look at my granddaughter, for me to come here to you 40 miles away. See, that don't matter to me. That don't matter. If I'm going to get it right, if I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it. I had an old man tell me one time, he said, I'm back from the military, I want to get me a performance car. I'm a GM guy, that's General Motors. You know, I'm a GM guy. You know, I let him know quick, we didn't need to run by the Ford dealership. Anyway, he said, the guy told me, he said, Grady, you never go to one car manufacturer or looking for another. If you're looking for a Corvette, you don't go to the Dodge dealership. You can rest assured it's there for a reason. You can believe that. He said, never buy a performance car with a tow hitch on it. This guy was full of advice. It's the same thing with your salvation. No jackleg, shed tree, untrained, non-Christian can save your soul. You go see him if you want to. I don't care how big his seminary is. I don't care how well they sing. I don't care how many boxes of food they say they shipped out and put on the truck. If he ain't with God, if he ain't obedient, if he ain't in the Word, if he ain't teaching you love thy neighbor as thyself, he's no good to you. You getting you a bad, I'm telling you, you getting a Corvette with a trailer hitch on it. You ain't got nothing but trouble coming him from this day. So, as Paul got here and establishes for us, what do we say, how do we feel when we see these things about pandemic, 180 dead, 180,000 plus are dead, fires, twin hurricanes, seems like the whole thing that you put together is falling apart, when it looks like there's nowhere else to go, when nothing else to run. In fact, the only time you can see a candlelight is when it's dark. In the darkest hour. That's when that light to be seen. You put a candle out there now, you can't see it. You got to get up on it. A lot of us have to be in a position where we are at that significant emotional event before we listen. Because we don't rely so much on society. And then when you come to God and say, I got hope. He woke me up this morning. I refuse to believe that God would allow a family like you, baby like that, and a place like this, and not offer or provide any hope. Send it all. Send it all. Bring it all to me. We're supposed to thank God. Like I told you, we're supposed to thank God for our trials and tribulations. You need that for sustainment. You know, I answer, I guess, a lot of questions and hear a lot of views when people say stuff, and I ain't nobody. I'm the biggest nobody since anybody. Listen to me. But one thing you can't get me on. Now, I struggle with the formula for rocket fuel. I struggle with that. I struggle if I had to do open heart surgery. I struggle with that, Chris. I would. I struggle with that. But if you ask me, do where I know my health and strength come from, and am I worried about what I got that down. Believe that. Huh? I got that down. I don't cringe and have to wonder when I pass by a cemetery because I know my end resolve is through that. I know that. My Lord and Savior told me that. You know, when I cringe and struggle now, when I try to explain and talk to someone about that other way ain't right. Don't let nobody deny you of your hope, your salvation. That's not a relationship with The doctor, that's not a relationship with your cousin, your niece, your nephew. That's one with you and God. Your best kept friend, your best secret. Listen to me. Where you are on this tells where you are with your relationship with God. Hope. 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 You got to know. You got to know. If he brought us this far, he didn't bring us to leave us. If he brought us this far, you got to know that. If not, what the military said, you're just spinning your wheels. You're wasting your time in here. You're wasting your time. So when it comes to this, and y'all, Lord, please forgive me. The reason I brought this, and hope, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. There's probably going to be a time where there's three hurricanes out there. Probably is. I don't know. Maybe four. I don't know. Maybe three. I don't know. I don't know. There's going to be a time that you see people die that you don't know what happened to. There were even, and you got to be careful because Satan, a message, well, this, she was 112 years old, and then we're going to have an autopsy done. That's crazy to me. 112 years, you're going to have a what? If you know that you're here to die, you're, listen, 112? Autopsy? What you trying to find out? We accept God's word, God's love, and as Paul identified for us, his hope. You're more than a conqueror. There ain't nothing this world can throw at you that God can't handle. Put your salvation, your love, your hope in God. That's what you need. That's the ammunition that you need. And if you, sometimes you're in the way and things seem like they're coming at you. And I do, my wife tells me, she said, maybe you know, what's that commercial where they give you a candy bar and then you look like a human being again? You know, and she said, maybe you need to eat something. Because you're a monster now. What's going on? I got the Tillman shop. Turn the fan on. She's right. Calm down. Because tomorrow always comes through God. Regardless of what it is that's going on, tomorrow is controlled by God. Don't let something else or someone else define your salvation. Oh, yeah. It bothers me, it tears me up to see anybody lose a loved one. And when I lose one, it hurts. I can't get around that. I'm human. But I know without question, at this point, only one of two things matter, whether you was right with God or not. That's it. Not who gets my ZL1 Camaro, the T-Bucket. Not who gets the next two tractors that, you know, I had. I don't want that one. That one turned over on Daddy. I don't forget. Yeah. None of that counts. None of that counts. The minute you look at life like tomorrow's not promised and you're thankful for the day, it makes it easier for you to go to that hospital and visit that person that has COVID or wherever it, whatever it is. It makes it easy because you know that that's a transition we all have to make. If he got you up this morning, you have every reason in the world to run around and shout the hope and the salvation that your Lord and Savior Jesus got for you. You have every reason in the world to believe that God is real. You have every reason in the world to know a change is going to come. A change is going to come. Maybe your plans got tied up, got twisted up, got messed up with all the things in history. Maybe your plans got bent. Maybe you got stressed out over some stuff that this covert done to you. I don't know. Or maybe you were just living an audacious life to start with. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. He's at the right hand of God, standing there waiting to intercede for you. All you have to do is make up in your heart, your mind, your soul, that this way is not the way I want to go. I want to take his course. I want to deal with my Lord and Savior. I want to be in that number. I want to be able to look at what's coming and know that I got some help. I got my own personal justice league up there, ready for mine. If that's anything close or remotely related to what your life is, we ask that you now look at Jesus' plan. You hear the gospel. Believe in Christ. Repent of past sins. Confess Christ. Be baptized and live faithfully. Won't you come now as we stand and sing?